Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Well, I thought it was in a Pentecostal church, but it sounds like a cemetery. I mean, God was so good this morning. Amen. If you weren't here, you missed a doozy. Amen. Missed a doozy, because God sure did. I want to encourage you to get the tape if you missed this morning, because it was good. It's about the blood. It was kind of a gory message, but it was good. Father, I want to thank you for this evening. Father, as we go to your word, Father, I want you to have your way in this place, Father God. We don't want our way, Father God, Holy Spirit. We don't want our way. We want your way, Father. We want you to move, Father, in the name of Jesus. I want you to speak to the hearts of the people, Father. These are your sheep. These are your people, Father God. Lord, I just ask you to just let your servant, Father God, speak words of boldness. Speak words of encouragement, Father. Speak the word of God accurately in these last days, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight I want to talk about there are two kinds of people, and only two kinds. There's saved, and there's lost. There is no in-between. There is no middle ground. You're either saved or you're lost. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, that we know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Well, Brother Sean, how do you know that you're a Christian? Well, you begin to love the brethren. You want to hang out with the brethren. Amen? That's what the Bible says. You want to hang out with the brethren. I want to go to the lost part of this message first, because a majority of us in this building are saved, and I want to save the best for last. I want to save the best for last. Jesus saved the best wine for last at the wedding. And I want to save the best for last. When we're lost, we're unregenerate. When we're saved, we get regenerated by the Holy Spirit. When we're lost, we're blind. We're blind. We're blinded in sin. We're blinded. We just can't see where we're going. When we're lost, we have a bunch of curses that come and follow us. We can't seem to find good. We can't seem to see when the good comes. We're like a heath in the desert, the Bible says, and don't see when the good comes. Why? Because we see nothing but the negative. We don't see the good things that God does. We're seeing the negative thing that God does, because we're under God's judgment. Because if you don't accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're under the judgment of God. That's what the Bible says. Either you're saved or you're lost. There is no middle ground. There is no in between. You either are or you're not. Either your name's written in the Lamb's book of God, in the Lamb's book of life, or it's not. And if it's not, then bless God Almighty, it can be there. Glory be to God. The Spirit draws you. No man comes to the Father unless the Spirit of God draws you. You don't just come to church and that's it, you're saved. No, you've got to confess publicly. You've got to confess loudly that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Notice I didn't say Savior and Lord, as many modern day churches do today. In the Scripture, it's Lord and Savior. And it's important that we leave it in the text. It's important that we leave it in the foundation that was laid out for us as Lord and Savior. Why? Because if He's not your master, He's not your anything. If He doesn't have all of you, He doesn't want any of you. He doesn't want any of you. He doesn't want some of you. He doesn't want just a little piece of your heart. He wants all of your heart. He wants all of your heart. He wants all of your heart. Doesn't want just a piece of it. He wants all of it. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You can determine a lot by a person's conversation sometimes if you just sit back and listen. That's why the proverb said a wise person will hear the whole matter before they make a judgment. Hear the whole thing, not just bits and pieces, but get all parties involved. Get all parties involved. Get it settled. Get it settled. Why? Because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool, that's what the Bible says, the fool. That's what God's word says. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Either we're saved, my brother and sister, or we're not. And I know it seems strange to talk about this kind of message in a church such as we are, but you never know who's going to walk in the front doors. You never know who might be trying to grow cold, and God might just need to prod somebody to get them to come on front slide back on to Jesus. If you're not front sliding, you're backsliding according to the Word of God. And if you backslide in that condition, you will bust hell wide open. I'm a plain, straightforward person. I don't mince words. You die in your sin, unrepented sin, you're going to hell, according to the Bible. You want to discuss that after the service? Then we can discuss that. But that's the Bible. There is no middle ground. You either are or you're not. It's kind of like being a little bit pregnant. Either you're pregnant or you're not. You can't be a little bit pregnant and have a baby. You either are or you're not. And if you are pregnant, if a woman becomes pregnant in 9 months, she's going to bring forth a child. And if she's not, she won't. And she'll go through all the daily processions that a woman goes through. And that's as far as I'm going to go. I'm trying not to pick on the ladies tonight. I'm going to try to show them some mercy and grace. But later on, I am going to pick on us men. Because we have a duty and an obligation and responsibility to our Lord and Savior, to our wives, to our children, and to our church. We all have obligations. But it's important that we understand that we are either saved or we're lost. If you have your Bible, turn with me, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're going to start in verse 15. We're going to go with the lost part of this. We're going to go in Deuteronomy chapter 28. It starts out, if you do everything the Lord commands you to do, you'll be blessed or you'll be cursed. God sets before us two ways, blessing or cursing, life and death. And it's up to us to choose which road we're going to head down. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. Right. There's a way that seems right to you and me, but it's always the wrong way. It always never seems to be God's way. We try to do things in our own selves, us men. We've got to figure things out. We've got to try to make it happen. That's how if a man's hands aren't involved, we just ain't happy. We got to get our hands in it, and 95% of the time we mess it up when we get our hands in it. But God wants us to just look to Him. There's blessings, and I want to get ahead of myself, but I want to slow down. I want to get to the blessing part because I know there are tangents, my brother and sister. I know there are people that are naming and claiming, but the fact of the matter is the Word of God is the Word of God. And it's in the book, and God wants to deliberate to His people that we are a blessed people. We are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. God has called us out for such a time as this. You might be wondering, well, why did God wait all these years to speak to my heart? Because it's in God's timing. Not yours, not mine, but it's in God's timing. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a virgin woman. It's in God's timing. It's not in ours. It's in God's. Verse 15 says, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shalt thou be by thy basket and by thy store. Cursed shalt thou be by the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land." It's never God that doesn't do the healing. It's always us. Oh, thank you for the amen. Thank you for the amen. God has all power. He's got a name hallelujah. The name of Jesus holds all power, all authority in heaven and in earth. It holds all power and authority over in heaven and earth. It holds all power. The name of Jesus. You say it if you say it and you're in trouble, and the situation will change like that. Because Jesus is awesome. "Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly, because the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me." Thou hast forsaken me in poverty. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation and with an extreme burning and with a sword and with the blasting and with the mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. The Bible says in the New Testament, under the New Covenant, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's important that we understand that the soul that sinneth, it is still death. I know it's a three-letter curse word in the church today, but it is in your Bible. It is in your book. It is important that we understand that it is, if God be for us, who can be against us? It's important that you understand, if we've really got a heart for God, then this message isn't going to hurt us. If we've really got a heart to seek God and to change and want to live right, then this message won't offend us. A sin message won't offend you if you want to stay right with God. It'll make you want to cleave unto the Lord. It'll make you want to stay right and live right. Walk right. Walk humbly and walk softly before the Lord. But if we don't do the things that God has commanded us to do, all these curses are going to come upon us. I don't care about the new covenant. The blood is the blood and it will cleanse. It will wash. But the Bible also goes on to say that we cannot live habitually in sin. We can't just make a conscious effort to sin every day. There's something on the inside of us that changes. The Bible says, when we get born again, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. It's important to understand that the moment we're saved, there's a change that happens. The moment Annette got saved, she was delivered from cocaine addiction, $800 a day instantly. Why? Because that is the power of God. That is the power of salvation. That is salvation, my brother and sister. That is salvation. I'm not talking about the salvation that we see today, that 2 weeks later they're back in their sin. That's not salvation. Oh, you're getting pretty... You're touching some tough ground, Brother Sean. I tend to tread on uncharted territory sometimes, because God gives me a message. He knows I'm going to speak it. And it doesn't matter if it's received, because all I've got to do is deliver it. Thank God the Lord showed me that before I started ministering again. Because, you know, most people today, they want to be praised by men. And the Bible says such were the false prophets. They were praised by people too. Man, y'all need to get back in the Old Testament. Get back in the Bible. This is an interesting book. It'll help change your life. Meditate in it what? Day and night. If we meditate in the day and night, we'll be changed. This word will wash us. It'll cleanse us. It'll give us life. Job wanted this more than his necessary food. He desired the word of God more than more than going and having a Cuban sandwich or a Big Mac. Job desired the word of God. But we have choices. Brother George, I'm so glad the Lord laid it on your heart tonight to talk about choices, because we choose. The Bible says if we be willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. But we have to be willing and obedient. We have to be willing and obedient. We have to choose to do right. And in a day and an hour that we live in, we've got to choose the right way. We've got to choose God's way. Not our way, but God's way. God's way. I don't want my way. I want God's way. My way will get me in trouble, but God's way will bring us victory every time. And that's what God wants us to learn and to do, is to walk in victory. He laid it out for us. All we've got to do is follow His statutes and His commandments. God's calling the church out, my brother and sister. God's calling the church out. He's calling His people out. There is a righteous remnant, and He's calling them out. He's calling them out from sin. He's calling them out from wickedness. He's calling them out from unrighteousness. He's calling them out. He's saying, come out from among them and be ye separate. God wants us to come out from among the world and be separate. Why? Because He wants to use us to win this damned and dying world. He wants to use us to reach this lost generation. This generation is not going to pass away until the coming of the Lord is at hand. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Jesus is coming. Are you ready? If He was to come tonight and the trump of God sound, would you go to heaven or would you be left on this earth? That's the ultimate question. That's the ultimate. That's the most important. It's not about whether somebody gets baptized in the Holy Ghost and thank God for the Holy Ghost. The bottom line is, are they saved? Are they saved? Is their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? The Holy Ghost is a blessing. The Holy Ghost is an addition. The Holy Ghost is a bonus. Glory be to God. Thank God for it. And I'm all for the spiritual things of God. But the most important is the name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If they're on their deathbed, if they die, are they going to heaven or are they going to hell? It's important. You know, I didn't have, God didn't give me too many scriptures. He just kept turning over in my spirit. There are two kinds of people. There are saved people and there are lost people. Why? Because we're living in a generation today, in a church age today, where all you've got to do is come to church and be a part of an organization and be a part of something, and you're going to heaven. That's not Bible, my brother and sister. When Heather and I first got married, and she had a friend named Maudie, and she was going to a certain church. And when she told me what the minister said, my stomach got sick because she wasn't married. She was living in extramarital affair. She was fornicating according to the word of God, living in adultery. And all the pastor said to her was, well, you won't be as blessed. And this is a growing church in Tampa City. And I'm not, everything else is fine, but when it comes down to the Bible says, neither the fornicator shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the Word of God says in Ephesians. Neither the fornicator, the adulterer, the effeminate, the abuser of mankind shall inherit the kingdom of God. The soul that sinneth is still going to die. The wages of sin is still death. The wages of sin is still death, my brother and sister. It has not changed because we have a new covenant. Has not changed because we have a new covenant. Yeah, this new covenant's established on better promises and better principles, better things. But that doesn't mean we go live any way we want to and get to accept these blessings. There's a price for this gospel. There's a price. We can't just throw Jesus under the rug. We can't just throw Jesus under the carpet because we want to be accepted by our homies or our sisters or our co-workers. I guess what the Lord is really trying to say tonight is, whose side are you on? Who is your Lord? Who is your master? If you've got a report from a doctor that you got cancer, is that cancer going to become your God, or is the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, going to be your Lord? Who are you going to bow to? Who are you going to bow to, my brother and sister? See, we bow to things. We concede to things. We listen to reports and just concede. But when we bow to the Word of God, when we get in His presence, it changes us. We go from glory to glory and strength to strength. But it's all a matter of the choice. There's a way that seems right to you and me. The Bible says they're in there of His death. Why? Because we were born in sin. That's why God had to send Jesus. That's why God had to send a second Adam. It's because Adam and Eve blew it in the garden. And God still wanted to have fellowship with mankind. That's why He sent Jesus. Is that we might have fellowship with the Father. And the Father might have fellowship with us. That's why Jesus was sent. That was the sole purpose, is to seek and save that which was lost. He didn't come to the righteous. He came to the sinner. He came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Are you going to speak up, or are you going to hold your peace? You're going to speak out, you're going to cry out, or are you just going to hold it in? The next time, man, husbands, that your wife asks you to pray, are you going to pray? The next time's wife, if your husband asks you to pray, are you going to pray, or are you going to stay silent? It's important. There is no stronger unit than the husband and wife in the body of Christ. Why? Because the Scripture says they're already one. When you pray together as husband and wife in one mind and one accord, you don't have to work up anything. You don't have to work in anything. You just do it, and God performs the supernatural, because it is an awesome thing that God did. God constituted marriage. God constituted marriage. Since I'm on marriage, I'll go a little further. Sitting at home the other night, I was flipping through the channels, and I don't know if any of y'all have seen it. I think Ruth has. But there's a commercial where a man walks up to a door and they close the door on him. Well, then the next thing you know, he's in a church, and it's the United Church of Christ today. And they accept homosexuals, they accept lesbians, and they just accept all walks of life. And they're telling these people they're going to heaven. When the Word of God is clearly against homosexuality, clearly against lesbian, and clearly against that kind of lifestyle. We love the people, but we hate their sin. We love the people. They see, that's the difference. They think we hate the people, and we don't. We love the people. We want them to change, but they've got to want to change. They've got to want to live for Jesus. They got to want this man called Jesus. And see, the enemy does everything he can to blind people. He works overtime so that people can't walk in the light and newness of life. He works double time, but you know what? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the light shines in the darkness won't comprehend it, my brothers and sisters. Why? Because Jesus is the light of the world. And if he lives in us, that light is going to shine. That light is going to shine. That light is going to shine. You either going to be blessed or you're going to be cursed. Now, there are a lot of men today that abuse Deuteronomy 28. You'll be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed in the field. They abuse it, and God wants us blessed, but that doesn't mean we got to drive a Rolls Royce or a Lamborghini. I guess I've only got Toyota faith because I only drive Toyota. But I'll keep driving my Toyota because I'd rather have the blessing of God and souls being saved than to drive anything else. Than to drive anything else. We need the living God in our lives. We need the living God in our homes. We need the living God in our churches. We need the living God in our marriages. We need the living God in our homes. We need the living God, my brother and sister. We don't need a new creed. We don't need a new catechism. We don't need a new program. What we need is the living God. What we need is Alpha, Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last, He who was and is to come. That's exactly who we need, my brother and sister. We don't need anything else but Jesus. It was Jesus for the disciples. It can be Jesus for us. They left their nets, left everything they owned and possessed, and followed this man from Galilee called Jesus. He must have had something important to say. There must have been some tone in his voice that caused them to leave their father's business, to leave fame, to follow this Galilean called Jesus. There must have been something. There must have been something in his nature. There must have been something in his tone that caused these men to follow them and lay their life down for him. It must have been something that Jesus said to Peter that caused him to be crucified upside down and die a martyr's death. There must have been something about this man called Jesus. Have you seen Jesus in the church that you've been to today? Let me ask you that question. Have you seen Jesus in your spouse today? Let me ask you that question. And I'm not saying that we're perfect people, because we're not. But there is a people that wants to live for Jesus, and you can tell. There is a people that want to live right and want to walk right and walk uprightly before the Lord of glory and just want to go all out for Jesus. It's all or nothing. We got to do everything with all our might, all our power for Jesus. We do it for Caesar. And I'm as guilty as everybody. But we got to do it for Him. Some of you elder women need to teach the younger. Some of you older men need to teach the younger. That's B-I-B-L-E. I know it may cost us. We're small. I know some of you put your time in. But you may have to put some time in again for Him. Not for the church. Not for Sherry or Doug or anybody else, but for Him. For Him. We're doing this for who? If we're not doing it for Jesus, we might as well all go home. If we're not willing to sacrifice not hearing the Word of God and being fed and take up a Sunday school class or take up a Sunday school class so Sherry and Heather can come in here and hear the Word of God for a change instead of us being selfish. Oh, it got quiet in here all of a sudden. I love everybody, but you know what? They're just as important as our spirit. And 95% of the time we're in here. And you know, I've heard it said, well, I paid my dues. That's good. You're going to pay him some more. You're going to pay him some more, especially when we begin to grow. We're going to grow. We're all going to have to join together and link arm and work. This is work. Amen. Having revival is work. Yep. You want revival? Then get ready to work. Amen. You want revival? Get ready to work. Get ready to pray. Amen. There is no revival without prayer. There is no revival without prayer. Prayer is the caboose for revival. It's what turns it. It's what causes it to happen. There is no revival without us, the church, getting right with God. It always starts with God's people. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from our wicked ways, then will we hear from heaven and then will he hear our land. See, we got choices. Blessing, cursing. You can be a Christian and still be under curse because you're not tithing. Yes, you can. I'm witnessed it firsthand. I'm going to be honest. Lost a home, lost a car, lost everything. So I went to the Word of God and asked God to open my eyes and teach me some things. And he began to open my eyes and I said, okay, we're doing this. And before I was even a produce manager, I would tithe what a produce manager salary was back when I was just a full-time associate because I believed God was going to promote me because he knew that I was going to have a family. He knew that if I don't provide for my own, I'm an infidel and I've denied the faith. Then it's my responsibility as a husband, as a father, to provide for my family. It's your responsibility too if you've got a wife or a daughter, son, whatever you got. You've got to provide for your family, husbands. Got to provide for your family. If you don't, you've denied the faith. Prayers won't be answered. Prayers won't be answered. But yes, you can even be cursed as a Christian. It's an amazing thing that God will bless us with something. And sometimes that blessing in itself can become a curse. God might bless you with a boat. When you start skipping out on church on Sundays to go get in your boat, guess what? That boat's soon going to break down. That boat's soon going to leave you stranded. Why? Because God's a jealous God. He's a jealous God and He loves us. He doesn't do anything to hurt us. He does it because He loves us. He does it because He knows that kind of stuff will get us in trouble and get us wrong with God and get us serving the devil instead of serving Jesus. Because there are a lot of times we're stiff-necked people according to the Word of God. We're a stubborn people. All the ladies said about the men. All the men said about the ladies. That's the biggest amen Michael Schutz has said in a month. We'll pray for him after church. But it's the truth. We are all stubborn. We all have a stubborn side. Especially when we've been wronged. I'm glad we're all family here. A lot of humor, a lot of joke, but there's also a serious side. We're all stubborn when we get hurt or get our feelings hurt. See, that's why the Lord has developed us in love. Those of us that have stuck around through all the sifting that we've gone through, there's a foundation of love now that can't be broken. Yeah, we're still going to have problems. I'm sure we're still going to have feuds from time to time because we're human. Every Adams family has it, so we might as well just get used to it. We're all a family. We're all a family. We're all family here. But you know what? It's we got to love one another with that love that Christ loved us. We got to, love will cover a multitude of sins too. You see your brother overtaken in something, you don't bring him before the church right away. You go to him and say, hey brother, let's talk about something. You do it in a spirit of meekness and kindness and tenderness to restore him. Not to judge him or condemn him or put him in hell or ostracize him or kick him out. There's a place for that. There's a time for that. But it's after you've tried to restore such a one in the faith. It's not instantly you do it. And I think a lot of times people maybe misunderstood me when I first come back for the Lord. And it's not that I wanted people to get judged or anything like that. I just wanted people to love Jesus, to love Him. See, I didn't just come out of sin. I just come out of, we won't go there. I just come out of some alcohol, some drug things that it took the Spirit of God to deliver me. And if it hadn't been for the Lord and hadn't been for my mother that prayed for me and fought demons and devils over me, I wouldn't be here tonight. And if it hadn't been for the church and those of you that knew me from a kid, I wouldn't be here tonight. If it hadn't been for the Lord that left the 99 and went after the one lost sheep that was lost, I wouldn't be here tonight. See, Jesus loves us so much that when we're wrong, He'll make a way of escape. He will. He's going to make a way of escape for the church. The trump of God is going to sound, and we which are alive are going to be caught up in the air. We're going to be caught up in the air. That thing's going to blow soon and very soon. Are you ready? All I can hear is Maranatha, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, come Lord Jesus. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. I've heard of some crazy things. I personally haven't seen it, but I've heard of some things, and I won't even go there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I love it when the Lord stops you from saying something. God wants you. God wants all of you. God wants all of you. He sent His Son Jesus for each and every one of us, that we might have fellowship with the Father, that we might walk with God as Enoch walked with God, that we might walk with God as Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. God wants that type of relationship. And it's more than reading one chapter of verses of the Bible. It's more than that, my brother and sister. There's a relationship. There's koinonia. There's fellowship. There's dialogue with God that we all need and need to get deeper into the dialogue and dialect of God. We need to meditate on His Word day and night, even when we're at the job, even when our souls are being vexed by this evil generation on the job. We can meditate on His Word day and night. My spirit gets vexed at work sometimes. I've got to walk away from things. Got cussed out Saturday left and right and bit my tongue. And I'm going to tell you right now, it was not easy to bite my tongue. But I bit it. I clamped down on my tongue and I bit it because I know Sean Dennis. And if Sean Dennis would have spoke, it wouldn't have been pleasant. And the Lord knows it too, and so does my wife. It wouldn't have been a pretty thing. It would have been an ugly thing, and I didn't want that. I want to live for this man called Jesus. I want this man Jesus to get glory from my life somehow, some way. I want Him glorified and honored. I lived my way for 20 years. I want to live His way the rest of my days. There's two ways. There's blessing, there's cursing, there's life, there's death. Which road are you on? Let's go to the good stuff now. This is the stuff for the righteous. This is the stuff for the blood bought. This is the stuff for the redeemed. This is the stuff for all you children of the Most High God. And it shall come to pass if thou shalt... If. There's an if here. And that means it's conditional. Just like when you receive prophecies, they're conditional too. Thank you for the amen. They're as conditional as you obey the Lord. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. I know this has been abused. I know that there are people that take it way out of context, way further than they need to go. But God wants His people blessed. God doesn't want His people begging. He's going to make us the lenderer and not the borrower. He's going to make us the head and not the tail. I am looking at blessed people, blessed beyond your wildest dreams. I don't care what kind of car you have. You're blessed because your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life and you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. It is important to understand that there is something money cannot buy. Money cannot buy peace. Money cannot buy happiness. Money cannot buy joy. And money cannot buy eternal life. Well, the only eternal life we can get is through Jesus Christ. That is it. Money can't buy it. It doesn't matter what type of car you have. It doesn't matter. You are blessed. If you're walking and living for Jesus, you're blessed. I don't care what your bank account says, you're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed, my brother and sister. It doesn't matter what the enemy screams in your face. You're blessed according to the Word of God. You're blessed. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou be, shall be the fruit of thy body. Oh, yeah. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the fruit of thy cattle and the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shalt thou be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. Thou shalt come out against thee one way, but they're going to flee before you seven ways, my brother and sister. God wants you blessed. You are blessed. It doesn't matter if you have, if you're on a Social Security income, you are blessed. You begin to tithe, God will supernaturally sustain you. He will supernaturally provide for you. He will do the impossible if you just do and do everything that He commands you to do. God will do His part. God will do it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God will provide. God will make a way where there seems to be none. God will make a way. He's already started the building fund for this congregation. God will make a way. We've $5,000 towards the building fund. I know it's only $5,000, but it's got God's blessing on it. It's got God's touch on it. You see, where is the Holy Church of God going? The Holy Church of God is going to the Holy Church of God is headed this way. We're going to be blessed in the city. We're going to be blessed. The fruit of our womb is going to be blessed. The fruit of this womb for years has been barren, but that is soon changing. That is already changing. It's changing, it's changing, it's changing, because God is going to do the impossible. We've had so many things come against us, rise up against us, but God has delivered us out of them all. God has brought us through every trial, every tribulation, every heartache, every heartbreak. God has brought us through it all. And this ministry is going to be blessed with souls. Not with material, but with spiritual. And as long as we keep that kind of heart and that kind of attitude, God is going to continue to bless. God is going to continue to lay it on people's heart to give to the building fund. Oh yes, God is going to do the impossible. I know it seems impossible with us because we're small, but it's not impossible with God's touch on it. We've got God's touch in this place. We've got God's anointing in this place. We've got the Spirit of God with us tonight, because where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst of us. He's in the midst of us. He's walking through the aisles right now. That's how literal you need to take this Word of God. You need to take it and just, by God, believe it. By God, you just need to haul off and believe God. Just believe Him. Believe the soap operas for years, now believe Him. No, Michael, my wife wasn't allowed to watch those things. Anyhow, I don't know why I went there, but God is going to do the impossible. God is going to do the impossible. God, not Brother Venable. You know, for years, and God has delivered us all from this, for years we all looked to Him as if He wasn't here, what are we going to do? We all did, let's all be honest. We all looked at Him. If He wasn't here, what are we going to do? My God in heaven, what are we going to do? The pastor's not here, what are we going to do? Well, guess what? God's here. And it doesn't matter if the pastor's here or not, because God is still going to show up. Thank God God doesn't go on vacation when Brother Venable does. I'm so glad that God doesn't go on vacation when the pastor does. Because I wouldn't come. I wouldn't come if God went on vacation when the pastor did. He's omnipresent. Thank God. Thank God God shows up here. Thank God that even though we're small, God blesses us in worship. We might miss a note, forget how to sing something, but it's to the glory of God anyway. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about what they say. Let them come up here and try it. Y'all can do better? Come on. Somebody come play these drums. Somebody come play this keyboard. Alice, can you do better? Come on, son. All right. God is good. God is good. Today I was at my mom's house getting ready for tonight, and I got Deuteronomy 28, and I got, there are two kinds of people, saved and lost. That's all the Lord gave me. And I said, Lord, it's going to be kind of a short service unless You give me something to say when I get behind the pulpit. And God always does. He always waits till the very last moment to speak to my heart, and it drives me insane sometimes, but I know that He's faithful. I know that God is faithful. One thing I can say about God is God is faithful. God is faithful, Doug, and He healed your daughter, and you had a daughter after 8 years old. After 8 years of marriage, you finally had a daughter because God is faithful. The promise came because God is faithful. God is faithful. The womb opened up because God said, let it open, and it opened. Just like He spoke, let there be light, and there was light. He spoke to Sherry's womb, let it open, and it opened. Let it conceive, and it conceived. Glory be to God. Because that's the God that we serve. He is the resurrection and the life. He has all power. Let's act like it. You can ask my wife. I'm not bragging, but I will. My last resort for a headache is an aspirin. My last resort is an aspirin. My first resort is prayer, and if that don't work, get one of my kids to pray for me. Because we got to slay some lions and bears. I'll never forget that message that Brother Venable gave us to slay our lions and bears before we try to slay our giants. And hey, it's not us. It's not us that heals. Understand that. It is not us that heals. I want you to get a clear understanding that it is not us. It is the Lord that heals. It is the Lord that raises up. We're just the instrument. If it doesn't happen right away, it's okay. God is faithful. God is faithful. There are going to be those that are instant. There are going to be those that... God teaches us patience in some weird ways. He teaches us some patience in some weird ways. Sometimes I don't like the way God teaches me patience. But you know what? He knows best. Father knows best. Father knows all of us. Individually, He knows our hearts. He knows what will hurt us. He knows what will help us. He knows when we're down how to lift us up. He knows when we're up how to keep us humble so we don't fall into pride. God is just awesome. We serve an awesome God. And we need to live like it. We need to talk like it. And we need to walk like it. We don't need to walk with our heads down. We need to walk with our heads high. Now there's a balance. Don't walk so high that you think you're a little God or something, because you're not. You have been redeemed. You have been saved. You were called out and chosen by the Lord. He loved you first before you loved Him. That's why we can love Him so much, is because He first loved us. So are you going to go down the road of blessing, or are you going to go down the road of cursing? The choice is yours. The choice is yours. Be it known unto you that you will either be blessed or you will be cursed. There is no middle ground. There is no in between. There is no purgatory. There is nothing but heaven or hell. There's nothing but life or death, blessing, cursing. There is no other way but Jesus. Anybody tries to go any other way, they'll be called a thief and a robber. And we know that no thieves inherit eternal life according to the Scripture. God's going to call His church back to holiness. I mean, His Word declares that He's coming back for a church that's without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. A glorious church. And we can't do that in and of ourselves. But we can make choices to help that. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I don't think we understand the power and the magnitude of that scripture. Because if we did, we'd treat it as the priests of old. When they would go before the Lord, they would cleanse themselves. And they would wear bells on their robes, because if they did not meet God's criteria, they died. Thank God we live in a grace covenant to where we don't die. Thank God He's merciful. Thank God He's merciful. There are certain things I don't allow in my house. You do what you want to. I'm going to do things the way I see it in the Word of God. Every man will give an account to his own house. So I'm going to account for me and my family. Therefore, I won't judge you for some of the things you allow. And don't judge me because I don't allow them. It's just the way it is with me. Certain things I had to throw away and get rid of because the Lord said, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Don't help me spiritually. Yeah, it helps my flesh. All movies help your flesh. All movies help your flesh. They don't help our spirit. They help our flesh, though. I can sure sit down and watch a movie before I would read 2 hours of the Word. It's a whole lot easier than to buffet our flesh and to buffet our body. It's a whole lot easier. Something I wrestle with all the time. Because I want to live this thing. I want to bring glory and honor to His name. Not my name. My name doesn't matter. It's His name that matters. What people think of me is what they think of me. My wife sometimes gets mad at me because I'm just one of those people. Let them talk. It doesn't matter to me. I'm going to serve God no matter what. Doesn't matter to me. I've always been that way. I guess God knew what He was doing when He put that in me, is not to care what the people say, because I've just never really bothered me what people say. She gets mad at me sometimes, but I think it's a good thing to a certain extent. It could also be a bad thing. I got to balance it. Got to balance it. But where are you tonight? Are you going to be on the blessing side? The saved side? The cursed side? The lost side? Where do you stand? You in your heart know where you stand. You'll know if you're saved or not. Because it's the greatest experience you'll ever experience in your life, is when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. There's nothing greater than that. Nothing greater than understanding that our sins are forgiven, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you know, you don't just maybe get saved when you're 13 and go your own way and stay saved. Sometimes you got to be like the prodigal son and come back to the Father's house. Got to come back to the Father's house. You got to come back and bow your knee and bow your life, prostrate before the Lord if necessary, and say, Lord, I want You. Would you please stand? God set before us two ways: life, death, blessing, cursing. You have to determine, even as a Christian, which way you're going to go. Christian means Christ-like. Are we like Him? It's a big statement. Are we like Him? I think we all struggle with it. We all struggle with trying to be like Christ. But I think there's a majority of us in here that want to be like Christ. We want to be like Christ. We don't always know how to handle situations, but we desire to be like Christ. We desire to be like Him. Thank You, Father. Anybody here doesn't know Jesus? I'm going to ask that because I don't want to give an account to somebody that doesn't. Anybody doesn't know Jesus? Everybody can bow their head and just raise your hand. It's all about Him. Not about me. It's about Him. Such a sweet spirit, and sweet, sweet spirit in this place tonight. Just God hovering over us, loving on us, encouraging us. That we can live this life. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. We can overcome that temptation. We can overcome that anger. We can. We can. Not we can't. We can pray together. As a body. As a unit. And tear the gates of hell apart and asunder. Pluck people out of hell and send them on the right path to heaven. Anybody need prayer tonight before we close? Any prayer, it doesn't matter. God is here. God is going to move. God is going to touch. God is going to heal. God is going to deliver. Doug, just give us some worship music. Those of you that are here, you know, worship. Worship the Lord. Just worship and magnify Him.